Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. Are boundaries good or bad? Join us as we discuss. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Advanced Studio Classroom. My name is Campbell. Thank you for joining us for our career article for this month. We have an interesting topic to discuss. But before we get into it, allow me to welcome my friend Rhonda to the studio with us. Hello, Rhonda.
Hello, Campbell. It's good to be with you again. I always enjoy chatting with you, both off hours and here on the radio. It's been great.
Yes, me as well. All right, so what are we talking about today?
We're talking about the workplace. Mm. The title is Boundaries. We're talking about a tight schedule, strict rules versus freedom. Mm. That's one way to say it.
Yeah, usually when we think about boundaries, I think about relationships. You know, I think I set boundaries for my children. I'm sure you set boundaries for your children when they were growing up.
Yes, although we didn't when my children were growing up. This is a fun English language point. We didn't use the word boundaries necessarily, but it's definitely a universal human thing. But I think talking about boundaries and relationships in the American lingo is something that's become more popular to say maybe in the last 30 years.
Yes.
Because I know certain books were published, and I think there was a famous book or a popular book published called Boundaries.
Right.
A while back. Am I right, Campbell?
Yeah, I think you're right. I think, and you know, what you were talking about with the past 30 years, you know, maybe this concept of boundaries has become more popular and more people are talking about it and more people are aware of it. I think definitely in my parents' generation or my grandparents' generation, especially in the Chinese society, maybe there wasn't so much boundaries.
Well, that's what I wondered. See, if you said boundaries to my grandmother, who's now passed away, she was born in 1921, she would have thought you meant the fence.
Right.
The field.
Yeah.
A cornfield. And I say that seriously, that boundaries has always been a literal physical idea in English.
Right.
Of course, boundaries between countries might not be a fence. But so this, when the book came out, boundaries having to do with relationships, that was taking a metaphor, right?
Yeah,
but now we assume we just say it. So it's come into our language to talk about relationships.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I wonder if it is a bit more of a Western concept, right, this boundary idea. I think, you know, I think maybe more and more as the world becomes more globalized and cultures mix, that this does become more prevalent all over the place. But the idea of boundaries and, you know, this is kind of don't step over my boundaries, don't cross over, you know, this is my line, don't step over. And it is more of a individualized kind of society concept, right?
Yes, I'm glad you said that. I have some thoughts as we get later into the article.
Mm.
If it's appropriate, I might comment on the American idea of don't make boundaries or let me be free does come into this conversation. So we'll see if we want to comment on that as we go along.
Well, on that note, let's not put this off any longer. Let's get into our article. We will read the first few sections and then we will come back and discuss.
The benefits of boundaries. Sometimes too much freedom makes a workplace worse. We've been told that the future of work is all about freedom. Companies offer flexible hours and asynchronous communication channels that we can access anytime. The promise is that fewer constraints will make us more empowered, more creative, and more connected. Sounds great in theory. But in practice, that kind of freedom without structure often leads to chaos. Without clear boundaries, work becomes a blur. Expectations go unspoken, resentment builds, ultimately, trust erodes. the flexibility meant to liberate us begins to wear us down. Boundaries protect a workplace. In today's workplace, hybrid schedules, digital fatigue, and high emotional load are the norm. Employees feel burned out at work, and one of the top drivers is unclear or constantly shifting expectations. Meanwhile, remote workers report difficulty disconnecting from work. A workplace without boundaries doesn't create engagement, it creates exhaustion. Boundaries help the team. Many people resist the idea of boundaries because they sound rigid or limiting. But boundaries don't constrain our power, they clarify it. Boundaries reinforce trust by setting expectations, expressing what we truly value, and defining where we end and others begin. As workplace author Greg McCune puts it, constraints don't block progress, they shape it. A deadline forces a start. A boundary protects your attention.
All right, let's talk about the benefits of boundaries. So that's an interesting title. So right away, we're assuming that boundaries are good. Yes. Well, the deck here, and you informed me that you actually wrote this deck, right, Rhonda? Sometimes too much freedom makes a workplace worse. Do you agree with that?
I do. And it's important to say sometimes. I agree with it because it says sometimes. Of course, freedom is generally a positive word. Yeah. Right? Yeah. We don't say, oh, freedom is bad. I don't think we'd ever say that.
No.
The idea is, what kind of freedom do we mean? What kind of independence, or in this case, I will decide what I want to do.
Right.
Freedom in that sense. So maybe we could say sometimes people having too much freedom to just decide their own schedule can make the workplace worse.
Yeah. And I think the key phrase here is too much, right? Too much freedom, not no freedom, because then that becomes a dictatorship, and that's not good either. So too much freedom. So how do we actually set up these boundaries so there isn't too much freedom? Well, let's get into the article. It says, we've been told that the future of work is all about freedom. And I think this is especially true after COVID.
Yes, yes. And after COVID and appealing to a younger generation, again, thinking what our grandparents probably wouldn't even talk in these terms.
No.
But COVID, of course, well, we'll get into the next
sentence. I feel like even up to my generation, if work is 9 to 5 or 8 to 4, whatever, you show up at 9 and then you don't leave until 5.
Right.
But now this next generation, I'm not used to this where, you know, I'll show up at 10. Mm-hmm. You know, and then I'll get my work done, and I'll leave when I want to leave, and it's just, okay, I'll stop judging.
right, but it definitely is. Well, this next sentence is interesting. Companies offer flexible hours. Oh, we like that. And help me pronounce this, asynchronous.
Yes,
we all need to say that together. Asynchronous communication channels.
Yes.
That we can access anytime.
Right.
Do you want to talk about asynchronous communication channels?
Yeah, let's talk about that. So, okay, flexible hours, I think people are probably familiar with that, meaning, you know, you set your own hours. You don't have to necessarily come in at 9 and leave at 5 as long as you get your work done. Right? Come in when and as you feel fit. Okay. Yeah. Let's talk about this asynchronous communication. I actually had to study this. It's something that I wasn't familiar with, but, you know, it's something that we use all the time.
Yes. I didn't understand the big word.
Yeah.
But I totally understand what it means. Go ahead, Kel.
Yeah. Well, I mean, basically, it's just communication where it's not live. It's not immediate. You know, like a synchronous combination, like if I call you and I'm talking to you directly on the phone and I get your answer right away, that's synchronous.
Yes, we're synchronized.
Yes. But asynchronous, meaning that I send you an email, send you a text, send you some sort of communication where you might not necessarily respond right away.
Yes, yes. Just whenever you put an A in front of an English word, when it's a prefix, that means not or no. Is that correct?
Yes. Yeah.
So, yeah, not at the same time, or not, in this case, not in real time.
Right. So it's communication channels that they can access at any time, meaning, you know, we used to have things called office hours, which I feel like maybe a thing of the past. There are not so much office hours anymore. People are on the phone at all hours. You know, I can send a message to a coworker maybe at night and they'll respond, right? Or I can send it at night and they'll respond the next morning, mm-hmm. right? And that's kind of what we're talking about here. The promise is that fewer constraints will make us more empowered, more creative, and more connected. All right, so that's interesting. The goal is to allow us to feel more like we are in control and not so much that the boss is dictating everything. And it's allowing us to be more flexible and work when we feel more inspired, right? And in a way, allowing us to be more connected, because literally now when I meet new people, I'm like, hey, let's keep in touch, mm-hmm. right? And they're like, great, how do you want to do that? Okay, I'm like, well, I have Facebook, Instagram, yes, WhatsApp, Line, you know, FaceTime, what do you want to do, right? It's just so many different ways to stay connected now. But in a way, it's actually causing us to be less connected, right? What do you think?
I think it's an ongoing conversation, and those are great insights, Campbell. It goes on to say, sounds great in theory. Mm-hmm. Of course, grammatically, it sounds great, or what you just said sounds great. But we kind of throw up our hands and say, well, sounds great in theory, but really doing it mm-hmm. in practice, that kind of freedom without structure often leads to chaos. So freedom mm-hmm. without boundaries leads to chaos.
Yeah, because it becomes, well, whatever you think is good, and whatever I think is good, and there's no standard. And, you know, obviously we're different people, and it's not necessarily right or wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So, but where's the standard? You know, I want to show up at work at 10 and I'm going to work 2 hours. I think that's what's good for me.
Freedom.
And then, you know, and then, but you want to work 5 hours and you're like, wait, that's not fair. I'm working yeah. 5 hours. He's working 2 hours. Everybody's, you know, so where's the standard? It creates the word chaos. Yeah.
You know what, Campbell, you and I both like to talk about big ideas
yeah.
and, related to our faith and philosophy. And I know we've got some listeners who like to talk about philosophy. We won't do that.
Uh-huh.
But everything you just said is really profound.
Yeah.
Right? How do we function better as people when we have structure, when we have right and wrong very clear between us?
Yeah. It continues here. Without clear boundaries, work becomes a blur. Everything blends together, right?
Mm-hmm.
Expectations go unspoken
mm-hmm.
because I can't express my expectations because I never told you that that's what I was hoping
and
you would
do. And I didn't answer your email.
Yeah, you know, and then there is no right or wrong because I never told you that that was right or wrong, right? I didn't set the expectation for you to at least answer my email within the same day.
Right.
So how can I tell you that that was wrong? Right?
Mm-hmm.
So expectations go unspoken. Resentment builds. But at the same time, you not answering my email frustrates me. And then I build up this resentment. And ultimately, trust erodes, right? We start having conflict. And the flexibility meant to liberate us begins to wear us down. So this is what we call irony,
mm.
right? What is meant to give us freedom and build us up is actually tearing us down.
Mm.
Okay. Now, boundaries protect a workplace. Okay. We have some ideas here about today's workplace. Can you tell us a little bit about what this author describes as today's workplace?
Sure. Hybrid schedules, digital fatigue, tiredness, and high emotional load are the norm, are normal. Campbell, I have to admit, hybrid schedules. I know what hybrid corn is. I'm
right.
a farmer's daughter,
yeah.
but what's a hybrid schedule?
Well, basically, we don't have the same work hours.
Okay.
Right? So some people might work from 10 to 7. Others work 9 to 5 and 8. You know, and I think sometimes that causes where it's hard for people to really collaborate,
mm-hmm.
right? Because if you're on a group project and I'm working on something, I need maybe immediate reaction and I'm working at 8 o'clock, but my partner doesn't show up till 10, you know, mm-hmm. it can cause a little bit of friction, right? Digital fatigue, okay? I think this is something a lot of people are familiar with, especially after the post-COVID era, you know? People are tired of the Zoom meetings, right? And right. tired of the, you know, the Google Meets and just meeting online and on the phone all the time, responding all the time. And high emotional load are the norm. Employees feel burned out at work. I think, you know, this is maybe something a lot of people are familiar with. And one of the top drivers is unclear or constantly shifting expectations.
You know, it's interesting. Employees feel burned out at work. I'm relatively new to being at ORTV, and it's the first time I've worked in an office with a lot of people. And it's interesting because I see that combination of new people like me who are want to say, where is everybody? Oh, who can I see? I don't know what you're doing over there. I've really never talked to you because your hours are different than me.
Right.
So, but the people I work with might feel burnout or I need a change or I need a flexible schedule.
Right.
So I think that's part of the challenge in a workplace that when we're not physically together at the same time, it's hard to stay united. So that's one.
Yeah. And I think burnout also comes with, because I feel like as humans, we need to feel that we are making progress.
Yes.
We need to feel that we are actually accomplishing something. But when there are unclear or constantly shifting expectations, we might feel that there's a phrase in English, the carrot is constantly moving, right?
Oh.
You know what I'm talking
about?
You
hold the carrot in front of a horse and you keep pulling back and the horse keeps coming?
Yeah, like you're not actually ever, you're trying to achieve something, but you're running really hard, but it just feels like they keep moving the line, right? The line, you just feel like you're working really hard, but you don't feel like you're actually accomplishing something. And so that can lead to burnout. And the next sentence also talks about something that can lead to burnout, which is the difficulty disconnecting from work, especially for remote workers. Who are we referring to when we're talking about remote workers?
People who don't work at the office, they work far from it or at home. Just remote means I'm not physically there.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be far away, but just not physically there.
And as a remote worker, you know, basically these people, they set their own hours and they're working from home. So they don't actually have to be on from maybe 9 to 5, the traditional work hours. They can work whenever is, you know, convenient for them. But the problem is, well, then when are your work hours? When are the hours that you're actually working? And you just constantly feel that. Because let's be honest, with work, there's always something to do. There's always going to be something to do. So you always feel like, have I done enough? Right? I feel like we had an article about something like that recently, right? So a workplace without boundaries doesn't create engagement. It creates what?
Exhaustion. Two E words. Engagement here means people engaging, interacting with each other. It doesn't mean here the wedding engagement when you ask someone to marry you, but engagement, engaging, interacting face to face, it creates exhaustion, fatigue.
Yes. All right. So, how do boundaries help the team? Well, there's an interesting concept here, and I know you have some thoughts. I know you have some thoughts, and I want to hear them. It says, many people resist the idea of boundaries because they sound rigid or limiting, but boundaries don't constrain our power. They clarify it. All right, so what are your thoughts on this?
Well, my thoughts, and I'll be brief, is about the cultural issues. I just wanted simply to say we Americans are known for resisting boundaries. Or put it this way, we like to have big spaces around us. So to resist means I disagree, I'm hesitant because I don't like it. So the idea—
Don't tell me what to do.
Well, you know what? We have a fun slang phrase in English based from cowboy culture. They just didn't want fences so they could ride their horses. We have a phrase, don't fence me in.
Right.
Have you heard that?
Yes.
I think it's even a song, don't fence me in.
Yeah.
So that was all I wanted to say, that Americans, we are known for kind of resisting anything that tells us what to do. We like our big spaces.
Right. You know, I mean, not to bring politics into it, but right now in the U.S., people are fighting so hard because they feel that they're being restricted and they're being confined, right? But this Greg McEwen says constraints don't block progress. They shape it. A deadline forces a start. And I agree with this very much because a lot of times when I do not have a deadline, I procrastinate. I kind of put things off. A boundary protects your attention. You kind of know what to focus on. All right. We have another section in this article. Let's finish up the article and then we can discuss it afterwards.
Setting boundaries can bring change. I once worked with the leaders of an innovative climate tech company that was scaling fast. Responsiveness was a badge of honor. Slack was always on, meetings were often urgent, and everything was an immediate yes. But beneath the surface, there was extreme fatigue, frustration, and blurred priorities. The culture looked high-performing on paper, but felt hollow in practice. In a facilitated session, one team member admitted, "I never know when I'm allowed to shut off, and I'm afraid that setting limits will make me look like I don't care." That moment shifted everything. The team introduced core hours for collaboration, quiet blocks for focused work, and focus Fridays without meetings or Slack messages. Within weeks, their energy felt reinvigorated, morale improved, and creativity reemerged.
Okay, so we have a very practical example here of how boundaries helped this company. So the author once worked with leaders of an innovative climate tech company. Okay, so this was a company that worked in the climate technology field, and it was growing fast. Okay, now this company had a few things about it, right? Can you tell us a bit more about this company, Rhonda?
Sure. They really valued people communicating quickly with each other.
Yeah, which was ironic. You know, when we were talking about asynchronous communication, but here they're saying, okay, even with the asynchronous communication, like if you're on it right away.
Well, if I did email quickly, the boss would find that positive.
Yes.
It was considered a badge of honor.
Yeah.
This is a fun phrase to use in English. A badge is literally physically what a policeman or an award-winning military person would wear pinned to their uniform, or it's an award your kid might get at school. So you wear that badge to show that you accomplished something. So here it's saying that showing that you're responsive is a way to get praise, maybe to advance at work.
Yeah, and this next sentence is interesting. It says, Slack was always on. I was like, huh? Because when we think about slacking, we think about not working.
Isn't that funny? Yeah, the English word without the capital slack is like, hey, I'm just slacking off.
Right. So I was like, so are they working or not? Are they slacking off?
That is a funny sentence.
Right,
you're
but then I was like, oh, okay, wait. Slack is actually, it's an online tool that helps people work together and stay organized, which is a interesting name.
That somebody, whoever came up with that name maybe was being ironic, like what you said earlier.
Right. So Slack was always on. So this communication tool was always on. Meetings were always urgent. And everything just felt like, yes, always on.
yes.
You know. And this was causing people to be tired, right? And we have a team member here. Can you read what the team member said? I never know.
Yeah, I never know when I'm allowed to shut off. And I'm afraid that setting limits for myself will make me look like I don't care.
Yeah, and I think this is very true of a lot of work culture, especially here in Asia, where people do not leave until the boss leaves, right? It's just this sense of, I don't know if I can, you know, just, I'm done for the day. My work's not done, maybe I'm done for the day, you know? And you don't want to set limits because then it makes you look like you are a slacker, right? You're slacking off. But when they actually had that discussion, they started introducing boundaries, right? They introduced work hours, core hours for collaboration, quiet blocks, basically giving people time and boundaries to say, hey, this is when I work, this is when I don't. And then what happened when they were able to set that up? Within weeks?
Within weeks. Their energy felt reinvigorated. Vigor is strength. So if you get your strength back, you are reinvigorated. Morale improved. I like that word, morale. Just feeling positive about yourself,
yeah.
Feeling willing to work. Mm-hmm. Morale improved and creativity reemerged. So you can have creativity with boundaries.
Yeah, the answer is not to just keep working and keep working and keep. We're not robots, right? We are humans, mm-hmm. right? I think of, you know, when God created the universe, even he rested, right?
There you
go. So having blocks of time of work and rest and having those boundaries set up really helps people work better. Right. All right. Well, we have a lot more to discuss in this article. There's definitely a lot of interesting vocabulary and interesting concepts to work through. So make sure you come back again tomorrow for another episode as we discuss this idea of boundaries further. Until then, this is Campbell.
This is Rhonda.
And we'll see you then. Bye-bye.
Goodbye.